everybody. Welcome to Beer and Bible. This is the lead questioner and architect, boss, captain of the ship, Neil.
The hottest radio voice on this podcast.
I don't know.
Who's mellow tone.
Who is my competition?
It's Chris, super high-functioning alcoholic, official Bible reader, which I left. Nope, it's next to me. I thought I left it across the room. And that's it. Your sidekick?
Yeah.
Could that be a new one?
I'm
more of your, like, not sidekick, because I would, no, because, yeah, because sidekicks are not, like, equal. It's like, I'm, like, lesser than, but still here. Part of it, but definitely don't do half of what you do. I am conscious of it.
I would say you don't do a lot of the work, but you are probably the voice of the podcast, seeing that you have been on every episode.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
I guess technically you would be the host if there was a host slash co-host.
I'd be the guy on the talk show that sits on the other couch, like that has to move when the guests come and sit down, but I'm still like making little comments on the side. That'd be me.
What are you drinking tonight?
Tonight, I'm back to my wicked ways. I'm on the Voodoo Ranger Juicy Haze IPA, the white cans. I don't know why I'm rubbing my belly while I'm saying that.
That's but, where it's all sitting.
I got
right
the
now.
Tall boys today. I thought I'd be able to just like drag those out, you know, after a few episodes or through a few episodes. And the first one just went down like melted butter on some cornbread.
Don't worry, I still have you. We have, again, donations from our listeners. I still have some ready to go for you. So,
like, what the fuck is cornbread? Look it up. It's a Southern thing. Sometimes it's real gross, sometimes it's good.
I also have cornbread.
It could choke you to death. I could see somebody dying on cornbread. Have you ever had really dry cornbread? Shit gets like stuck in the back of your throat. And if you try to take a breath because you're running out of air, trying to chew it and swallow it, it goes into your lungs. That's a fucking rap. I think we lost 30 people in the South to that last year. That's how they won the Civil War, actually.
Just
it's like 2/3 of the whatever the South Army, the Redneck Army, died from cornbread inhalation. It's a fact. Look it up. Google it.
Let them eat cornbread. That's what I'm imagining, like the French aristocracy right now. All right, so we are in the Book of Matthew. No cornbread involved, but we will be talking about bread sometime.
Of course, of course.
Yes.
Maybe that's how Jesus fed all those people on the mountain, is just cornbread. A little bit goes a long way. Everybody just had it stuck in their throats, and they're like no more, Jesus, no more. And he's like, and I have fed the 5,000. Everybody's just choking to death. And like, this shit sucks. Like, keep that shit to yourself, Jesus. We just want your, let's get the word. Don't try to feed us anymore. Maybe that's what it was. They were gaslighting Jesus the entire time. The disciples, they're like, he's feeding all these people. Like, everywhere they go, there's like food left over, and there's like, they're spitting it out like on the sides, and they're like, oh God, we can't tell him. He'll quit teaching us the superpower stuff.
I like that idea. I like that a lot. So speaking of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, we've kind of been building up here. So just to recap where we've been recently, we've got John the Baptist, who had been put to death. And so Herod,
R.I.P. John.
He's the tetrarch, or maybe not the tetrarch. He's the ruler of the area, and he was worried that Jesus might be John the Baptist risen.
Herod's still a little sad about it because him and John got a little tight, didn't they? And then he's like, my fucking bitch wife and daughter decided they wanted him dead. And now my acquaintance is gone.
Yeah, because he made a vow in front of everybody. Go back, listen to a couple episodes before, then...
Run it back.
Yeah, Jesus tries getting away. That's where he feeds the first crowd of people. So he feeds 5,000, and we believe that is in a primarily Jewish area. Then he goes and he walks across the ocean, or the
Is that
sea.
The one where it was 5,000 men?
5,000 men.
So it could have been...
15.
Yeah, more than that.
Yeah.
If they brought the churn and the women with them.
Yes.
Which, I mean, my family goes with me everywhere. I take them places I probably shouldn't. Like, we'll go to parties sometimes, and I'll give them their tablets and headphones. But like, headphones, hey, no, keep the headphones on. With my family. I mean, like, I take them.
Hey, they're an extension of you. Like, raise up a child in the way they should go. Take them to some ragers. That makes sense to me. I'm not sure about you guys, but where we are, all of our brewers are very family friendly.
Oh, yeah. It's great. So there's nothing better than, like, acceptable, like, parental alcoholism.
In the show How I Met Your Mother... where they're like, it's okay to have a baby in a bar, right? It's a bar baby. It's okay. It's okay. And like, breweries are like, yeah, we've got cornhole. We got a playground. Like, please bring your children here.
Well, the best one near us, or actually closest to our vicinity right now, Parkway Brewery. Shout out to you guys. They just have literally a fucking little, like, 12 to 18 inch wide brook or a little creek that runs through the property. They have a nice bridge built over it and stuff. And literally when you get there, the kids go play in the water. I mean, it's a natural magnet for children. Like it's just water with like rocks in it. There's no fish. There's no wildlife because it's like a stream running off of a mountain. And like, that's where the kids go. You just know, like, the parents hang out. All the kids turn into these wild fucking packs of children, and they just hang out in the creek. Somebody might fall in. Someone might get hit in the head with the rock. But at the end of the day, everybody has a good time.
It's a really beautiful place.
It's a great babysitter. It was ingenious on their part because it cost $0.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to build a bridge over it to get, like, from the smoking section to the, like, chilling section. But, like,
it's a great place.
It's a great babysitter. Yeah. That's why I bought a house with a stream in it, because I'm be like, get the fuck out of the house and go play in the water, kids. Don't get, like, wait till the cows are on the other field so you're not getting fucking botulism or whatever, you know, from the water. Yeah. I don't know, mad cow disease. But, like, go play in the creek.
Go play. Just don't drink it.
And they do. Sometimes I play in the creek.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways, so speaking of bodies of water, Jesus then walks across water, and then he, Peter, which somebody pointed out, is like, Peter, his name literally means rock, and he just sinks in the ocean. Like, oh, hey.
Oh, that's what Peter means?
Well, Peter means rock, yeah. Yeah, it comes from Petros or Petra. We'll get into that more as we continue on. Probably not tonight, but sooner we're going to be talking about Peter. But
he's going to come back.
Yes. So we have that moment where we see somebody that should have really good faith, a Jewish male. You might be like, that's really sexist. It's not me being sexist. It's the Bible being sexist. It's not even the Bible. It was just that time and place and culture where there was a distinction of, and when I say this as a distinction, I mean as in who should have understood Jesus and should understand the Messiah and who should have a grasp of Judaism. It should be a Jewish guy that would have gone through the training and the teaching and everything else. Someone that's been hanging out with a rabbi for, I don't know, two and a half years. So Peter should have gotten it, and he has little faith. Then you have where Jesus throws down, and it's what I call the Jewish midpoint, and definitely listen to that, where there's a
distinction. Oh, and he flashes on the Pharisees, everybody, the Pharisees and Sadducees, or was it?
No, just the Pharisees, I think. Yeah. If I'm remembering correctly, it's just the Pharisees at this point.
They come in questioning, he's like, are y'all stupid?
Yes.
Like, get the fuck out of here. Get out of my face.
So he flashes on them, and then he goes from there, and he takes a trip up to entire Sidon, which is going to be a lot of Gentile
making enemies everywhere.
Right. Well, here he goes to a place where he's like, I'm going to move away from the Galilee area, and that's where he meets a woman who... He has a little discussion with. Check out our last podcast on that. Something I didn't bring up in the past that I probably should have brought up is that from her culture, dogs might not necessarily have been dirty. Mm. So they could have been the ones that eat scraps from the table. So when she turns around and says to Jesus, even the dogs eat the scraps from the table, it might have been understood from him like, oh, you're using your culture to explain getting something that wasn't meant for you and getting it on the back end. Mm-hmm. So even though for us, that's a negative term for a dog. You are spinning it in a way from your culture. Then we had the point where he feeds the 4,000, and we said that area might be specifically in the Gentile territory.
He's still up north.
Yeah, so he goes from Tyre and Sidon, which is north near the Mediterranean coast. Now he comes back, and we're guessing somewhere around the Sea of Galilee and onto the other side of Israel, I guess the eastern side of Israel.
Gotcha.
So... that's sort of northeast, but pushing towards a different section of the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. But that might be more of a Gentile area. And there was the whole thing of like, can he do the miracle here? And the answer is yes. And then they collect 7 basketfuls of loaves, and then they move on to the next thing. And that is where we are today. So
it's Bible time.
Let's pick it up.
It's Bible time. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Dun, dun, dun. That's so funny. Like, they tested him. He's like, ooh, don't test me. Well, Jesus has got hands. Well, maybe not. He hasn't hit anybody yet, but...
the word there is perizo, which is the idea, the same word we use for tempt. Test, tempt, all those things are the same word. So they are tempting him. They are testing him.
Mm.
They're pushing the buttons a little bit.
Because he started the fight. Because they weren't they like talking to him? That like if we flash back to the Sadducees were that first
the Pharisees
account. Pharisees, okay. And he's like, you stupid motherfuckers, like, go away from me, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, when he did
or
that,
were they trying to like get him? I can't remember.
That was specifically on a question of halakha, which is the way you do the law, right. So the question was, why is it that you, Jesus, you and some of your disciples do the right thing, you do our religion the way we do it,
and some of them don't,
and like, some of them aren't washing their hands, and there is a question about whether or not they are trying to push his buttons or if that's a legitimate question. Yeah.
But either way, his answer got him on the radar. Now they're like, Jesus guy.
Yeah, he was frustrated because you're missing the part where you take care of your parents and really take care of their needs in favor of doing these religious things that you've come up with.
Yeah.
And we want to get that. So now they're coming and they're going, okay.
So now they're trying to be wise guys and they're like testing him.
Yeah. So in Mark, it says the Pharisees and the Herodians. And here in Matthew, we have the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Yeah. What would be the Herodians?
The Herodians are going to be, think of it, it's less about the Sadducees. Let me back up. Pharisees and Sadducees, think of them as religious political groups. They are in the Middle East at that time to say one is religious and one is political, and those are two separate things, not really necessarily the case.
Right.
With the Herodians, there's going to be a little bit more of an overlap. You could be...
Because to me, it sounds like, you know, the Stanleyans. Like, these are people that say what I want them to say, so they're my fanboys. They're like, if you either do what I want to do or you're fucking end up like John.
Yeah, not too far off, because you could have a Herodian who is going to be somebody that is... siding with Rome and who they've put in charge, Herod, and you could be someone like that. It's similar to what people say when they say they are socially liberal and fiscally conservative. Generally, we have social and fiscal conservatives on one side, social and fiscal liberals on another side.
Yeah.
And I know that's a lot more complicated, but my point is you can have somebody that might even theologically align with the Pharisees, but are going to more politically align with Herod.
Gotcha.
So that would be who they are. They're the Herodians. They are in charge, and we're going to back them up. Now, in this case, we're going to have Sadducees and Pharisees, which is similar but not quite fully overlapping. The Sadducees did support Herod for the most part. Most Herodians would have been Sadducees. But those phrases, just to be clear, those phrases are not interchangeable. I say that with a little bit of hesitation.
Should
because
be like moderate, like, and then some people that go to this other end of the... or like...
I think third party.
Yeah, okay.
Or not even third party. Like, you could be a Herodian and be Pharisee or Sadducee.
Gotcha. Oh, okay.
But the main...
But you were loyal kind of to Herod.
To Herod, right. Yeah, okay. Right. That would be the
you
way of looking at it.
Supported Herod or you support... Like, I could see, like, the two... Okay, Pharisees, Sadducees, fully Jewish. Like, we are the leaders of the Jewish community.
Yes.
But then you've got a certain group of those people who are like... No, we're sticking with this Herod thing. Like, we think this is going to pan out.
Right, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, a lot of times, the Sadducees who maintained control of the temple and who would have been someone that would have overseen that or been able to tell Rome, make sure the Sadducees stay in charge of the temple, like, that would have been Herod saying, leave the Sadducees in charge of the temple.
Mm.
Now, the Sadducees, they believe that the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, so if you go to your church and grab a Bible, it'd be the first five books. Or if you go to your synagogue and grab a Tanakh, it would be the first five books. In fact, Tanakh would be the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. So that's what we get the phrase, the word Tanakh. Hmm. The T is for Torah.
Gotcha.
So they believed in those first five books. They recognized the Nevi'im, which is the prophets, and they recognized the writings, the Ketuvim, but they focused mostly on the Torah. And with that, with the Torah, it talks about how do you worship the Israeli deity? You do it through sacrifices and temple worship. The rabbis who were in the Pharisee group, they were the ones that said, hey, we're going to create all these other rules on top of that. And so you can love God through this rabbinic thing. That would be where they would be doing the washing of the hands.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a Pharisee tradition. So the Pharisees would have been a very different group. So Sadducees and Pharisees, they got along because they had to, but they didn't really agree on much of anything. That's where I would like to say Democrat, Republican, choose whichever side you want to choose. whichever one you want to attach it to. But here we have this point where both the Sadducees and the Pharisees are coming to Jesus and going, hey, man, are you the Messiah, essentially?
Mm, straight to the point.
Yeah. And real quick, I do want to ask, just are there any other distinctions I should make for the Pharisees and Sadducees for you?
Not really.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure that I cover that before I leave those two factions, now that we have them. Again, I would just to say the story, when it's told by Mark, he has Pharisees and Herodians. Matthew is going to be using Pharisees and Sadducees. To me, if you were to write a story about a third-party candidate, and you said the Republicans and the Democrats came to that candidate, it's almost a way of what you were saying a second ago, where it encompasses all of Judaism.
Yeah.
And so you have this dark horse candidate, and we have an entire representation. Now, we have not seen the Pharisees and Sadducees together in a group since chapter 3 of Matthew, with them coming to John the Baptist. The same guy that's like...
So they're real pissed.
Yeah, yeah. And it sort of, again, represents that entirety of Israel. If I said the Republicans and the Democrats came to this candidate, you know that there are other parties that exist in America. Mm-hmm. If you didn't, hey, welcome our international audience. But there are more than those two parties. But for the most part, when we talk about Democrats and Republicans, that sort of represents the majority of the American spectrum.
Oh, unfortunately.
Yeah. We're very limited.
And that's as far as we're going, guys.
So they come, and they sort of, all of Israel comes to him, and they ask for a sign. They are, as you said, tempting or testing the Paradiso. They're asking this question, and the sign that they're looking for, they said a sign from heaven. And this is similar to what the ambassadors said in chapter 2. When they came in, they said, hey, we saw a star in the sky, and we know from the heavens and because of what we had been reading that there will be a king, and we came here to greet that king. So that's your sign from heaven. We're looking for an eclipse. Like, can you point out why you are the Messiah? Mm. So that's kind of where we're at right now. So let's go ahead and continue reading.
Okay. He replied, when evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today, it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. That's funny. The sky is always red. You know, see red sky every once in a while, or like pink sky. It's like, well, I mean, granted, we're in Southwest Virginia. It's like, oh, man, that's beautiful. That's
yeah.
Like, it's like, you know when it's going to rain because the sky is red, but then it's cloudy.
I think
you dumb idiots.
Yeah, this has a lot to do with fishermen trying to plan, like, are we going to go out on a boat today? Like, when is it going to rain tonight? And are we going to be stuck out on a boat? It's going to start a storm, and we're not going to have Jesus out there to stop the thing.
I interpret this as, you guys can sit there and say what the weather is, but you're too wrapped up in bullshit to see how things are going, or you're blinded by, like, you know, bullshit.
Yeah. You're coming in here and you're going, hey, we're looking for the Messiah. Can you give us something up in the sky? And he's like, okay, for a second here, let's talk about this. I'm here with a bunch of fishermen, okay? They're kind of slow. Sorry, Peter. Not really. But they're a little slow, and you guys are the ones that went through all the schooling. You guys are the smart guys. And everybody knows, fishermen and intelligent people, like, when the sky is doing this, this is how we look at the weather. And that's something that we look... You look at the heavens and you can see, you are asking me about the heavenly signs, and I'm talking to you about these heavenly signs that are right here that I can see, you can see, everybody can see it, and you're looking for a sign from heaven. If you've been reading the scripture and you know what the Messiah is supposed to do, the Messiah is supposed to be doing all the stuff I've been doing. That's part of what Matthew writes about, is Matthew continues to say that Jesus does two things. Jesus and John do the same, well, I don't know, John doesn't do any miracles, but Jesus does two things. He preaches the kingdom of heaven, and he performs miracles. All of these miracles...
Are we talking about John that got his head cut off?
Yeah, point? Sorry.
He's not doing shit right now.
No.
Sorry, RIP, John.
So they're coming up, and they're asking for a sign, and I feel like he's rubbing the bridge of his nose and just going... I've done all these signs. Like, you want to go freaking to Tyre and Sidon, ask the woman about her daughter being healed. I'd say ask Peter about walking across water, but he didn't make it that far.
Yeah.
I just fed 5,000 people. I fed 4,000 people, and you guys are asking me for a sign to show you that I'm the Messiah. The blind see, the deaf hear, like the same things that John, when John asked, are you, so John didn't ask, show me a sign that you are the Messiah. John asked, are you the Messiah?
Yeah.
And Jesus' response was, tell John what you have seen. Here are things that are happening. And so, when they're asking for a sign, I'm not saying that it's not in the rabbinic interpretation. We already talked about that way back when we discussed the ambassadors coming and looking for Jesus as a baby or as mm-hmm. a toddler.
Yeah.
They had the signs that were in the Babylonian Talmud. So that knowledge or that thought or that expectation did exist. But they are coming to him while he's there doing all these miracles and having done them and could talk to other people. And they're just coming and saying, can you give us another sign? And here's it. And this
he's
is
like, damn it. Yeah. What have I been doing this whole time?
I know for myself, when I think about the signs as like, Jesus is coming and doing all these miracles. So to me, part of me is like, well, what's one more? You know?
Oh,
like,
yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Like, hey, we're down with you being the Messiah. Could you give us a sign? But they're specifically asking one from heaven.
I'd be standing there like, all right, I've been waiting on this one. Like, boom, hit him with something like real crazy. I've been keeping all those demons in my back pocket. Watch this shit. And they like do a whole musical number. It's like, get the fuck back out of here. And they're like,
is it like that scene from Ghostbusters when the EPA shuts down the Ghostbusters? Yeah. Which now that I think about it, how ridiculous is that? Is that in the 1980s, the EPA were the bad guys in a movie? That's really weird. Anyways, let's go ahead and read what Jesus' response is, because they're asking, hopefully Jesus is with us, like, we want a sign, and Jesus is actually going to give them an answer, besides just sassing them back.
All right, I'm going to backtrack a little bit so we get the whole thing. So, you're talking about predicting the weather. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Jesus then left them and went away. He said, y'all are going to get eaten by a fucking whale. Fuck y'all. I'm out. Was that the Jonah sign?
I would love that if that was it.
All of a sudden, it just starts raining whales. Everyone just gets crushed to death. And he's like, there you go. God's like, fuck.
Sign from heaven.
You failed. Like, that's not what you're supposed to do, Jesus. You're supposed to die on the cross. What? Die?
In my head, like, these whales are falling, and this one little potted plant's falling down, going, oh, no, not again. I like that idea, because they said a sign from heaven. He's talking about, like, you know when to predict the storm. Watch this storm. Sign of Jonah.
What was the sign of Jonah? I know we have to talk about
that now. We have talked about it because that goes back to something that Jesus said in chapter 12. Okay. And the way that it was, there is an addition in chapter 12 where it said 3 days and three nights in the belly. And there's a question because some people think that that was added after the fact. In other words, Jesus said, no sign shall be given to you except that of Jonah. And then later on, after Jesus had already died and resurrected and all that, he's like, and that sign is 3 days and three nights. Like, it was just like a little Christian addition. Like, it wasn't planned. In that context, in chapter 12, they were talking about the idea of Jonah was a Jewish person going to a completely Gentile area. So people who would not be familiar with the Torah, people who are not familiar with the Israeli religion, mm-hmm. who were listening to an Israeli person be like, hey, you need to change your religion.
Yeah, you guys are fucking up. Like, y'all need to follow this God.
Yeah.
But the whole time he's like real condescending, like, guys, you're messing up, because you didn't want to fucking go anyway. Like, just repent, and so just follow follow God, God. Yeah. Like, and then they do, and he's pissed.
Yes, because he wanted them to
to be destroyed.
Destroyed. Yeah, he's like, no, my God will mess you up.
Yeah,
and
he's sitting back there rubbing his hands, like, here we go.
Yeah,
I'll sit under this tree and wait for the show. And they were all crushed by whales too.
Right, that is how it went down.
All of them.
You guys really need to read the Bible and not listen to us 100% of the time.
Yeah, people are sitting there like, shit, I really do need to read this thing. Everything I thought was wrong. A lot of people are dying with, like, whales, just whales out of the sky. They go to church for the first time, and somebody says something about Jonah, and they're like, that's the guy that killed everybody with whales, right? me and us after class.
Close. Actually, not close.
Get that guy out of here. They grab him with a hook and drag him out of the audience.
I remember about this. This is like the Tesla thing all over again. The holiness. If you're not sure what that is, go back, listen to some episodes. Going back to chapter 12 of Matthew, when it mentions the sign of Jonah, the other story that's told in that context is the story of the reverse story. So here, the story of Jonah is where a prophet or somebody speaking on behalf of God goes into a Gentile territory and then speaks, and then people believe in the Israeli God. The other one is a woman from, or queen from modern-day Ethiopia, comes in, and she sees all of the power and the grandeur and all the things that God has blessed Israel with, and so she recognizes the power of God. So what we have are examples of people who should not be getting the message. The people that should not believe, which are these Gentile people, and Gentile means non-Jewish, these non-Jewish people are believing. And so he's saying, you are going to have no sign but the sign of Jonah. And one of the other things that happens in the story of Jonah is that he is eaten, swallowed in, by a fish for 3 days and then regurgitated out later on. So is it that Jesus is going to go into the tomb and be resurrected and that will be the sign? Or is it the sign of Jonah is just someone proclaiming a prophetic message, trying to point the people in the right direction? And so Jesus is like, hey, I'm trying to point you guys in the right direction. You're going to get the sign of Jonah. The only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah, of me telling you guys to go in the right direction. Hmm. So there is a couple different options here. I don't know what the right one is, but I say all this. What were the last two stories we just had? We had one woman coming out of her Gentile territory and meeting Jesus and agreeing with him. Mm-hmm. Then we have Jesus going into a Gentile territory and all of those people seeing his power and his miracles. So sometimes I imagine that the book of Matthew is one giant run-on sentence. It's like, we're going to start here, and then we're just going to go, and then because of, and therefore, because, like, it's almost like it runs. So to me, to see, to sit here and say, okay, there was no chapter 15, chapter 16. So it would have all run from one to the next. So we would have gone, Gentile woman recognizing him as son of David, which is a very Jewish phrase, mm-hmm. recognizing him as the Messiah. Then you have Gentile people, the 4,000 being fed, recognizing, like seeing his power and coming to believe in who? They gave thanks to who? To the Israeli deity, God.
Ah.
And then you have...
Oh, so now I see the Jonah reference.
So now you see the Sadducees and Pharisees, the representation of Israel going, give us a sign from heaven.
Yeah. And so he's been doing all this and like... The people that have no knowledge, like this guy could be fucking nobody.
Right.
But the fact that he comes in and does these things, they're like, dude, this guy is something, like whatever he is, he's the real deal. Or even, you know, you're talking about the Gentile lady that's like, wait, he's that guy that the Jewish people were talking about.
Yes.
And he goes back to, you know, and then the Jewish like leaders come and they're like, all right, so we need to see a sign. And he's like, bro, I'm convincing people that don't even know who the fuck I am, who I am. Like,
yeah.
What else do you need?
Yeah.
Like, what more do you need? Fuck off.
Yes. So I think to me, that sort of brings this idea of you want a sign from heaven. How about us this sign from heaven? All these people, believe me. Also, you guys, you think it's, you're so smart and you want a sign from heaven and you can't even read the freaking like sky, like the simplest, most dumbest, very available side, like sign right here that this is all happening.
He's got a crowd of like 4,000 behind him that like believe in him, and they hear this conversation and just like rush forward and start pummeling the Sadducees. He's like, wait, no, no, that's not what I meant. People heal, like down, go, stop, stop. They're like, oh, fuck.
Once again, I like the idea of his crowd fighting on his behalf. Yeah. Like, I'm about to heal everybody.
I'm like, shit.
Afterwards, this is going to be a big cleanup.
Clock some overtime on this one.
But yeah, I think that's. That's how we should be reading this, is the Sadducees and Pharisees coming after two stories of Gentiles.
God's up there like, I've been dealing with this shit since Abraham.
Enjoy.
They just don't fucking listen. He's like, gotcha, bitch. Told you it wasn't going to be easy. Holy Spirit's over there like, fuck, I lost my money on this one.
I do.
They're up there gambling on Jesus.
Yeah. I do like the temptation here. This is one of the, not a temptation, but, you know, he just fed the 4,000, the 5,000, which is sort of echoes of when Satan came to Jesus early on and said in chapter 4 of Matthew saying, hey, turn these stones into bread.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can amass power by being able to create food and job security, like the very political power, and Jesus turns that down and give us a sign from heaven. I don't know. I'm like speculating. Is that another one of those things when they are pirazo? I don't remember which one it is. I'd have to look at the Greek again, but that idea of like, we are tempting him with, why don't you give us a miraculous sign? Why don't you make this like stars shine or something like that? Like, prove it. Are you going to do it your way? Like, are you going to do it the way that Jesus is supposed to do it? Or are you going to do it the way that the world or Satan, when I say the world, I mean like worldly power. This would be the temptation of, are you going to win people over with peace and education and like giving food and donations? Or are you going to win people over by running them over with tanks? That's like more like my modern mm-hmm. spin on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you want to spin this? So that's just a open question. Like I said, I'm lead questioner. So I'm going to throw that out to the audience, and like just something to think about. I don't know if that's an actual temptation or not, but I wonder. So,
Okay, so sidebar, real quick, last tangent. You said something about the devil and bread in the desert. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
The devil just told Jesus to turn the stones into bread or something, right? Like, the devil didn't turn them into, or make bread, and then it's like, you should eat this.
No, no, yeah, you're right, you're right. He said, hey, Jesus, use your Jesus power to turn stones into bread.
Gotcha.
And so in the same way, you know, you could take these stones, and you could make bread for yourself to consume, and you'd be great. And
my second question was going to be, do you think they had the same recipe? Maybe Jesus is like, he's like, because I can't remember if he turned the stones into bread. He's like, hey, Jesus, you should eat some of this bread. And be like, Jesus, like, I don't use stones, dickhead. I use moldy ass fish. I use other bread, and I just make bread out of more bread out of the bread.
I have no idea.
It's cornbread. It's cornbread. Try some, devil, you fucking dickhead. Try something. He's like choking to that. And it's like, roll credits. Created by George Lucas. Have you seen this meme? Just like, like a real quick story.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea. Stone bread.
The devil's like, why don't you turn these stones into bread? And Jesus is like, yeah, sure. Turns it into bread, and the devil's like, ooh, that looks good, and eats it, and his cornbread chokes to death. Roll credits.
Yes.
The whole Bible's over. Or, like, everything's over. We all get to go to heaven. No more struggle.
Once again, wars.
The chess game is over.
All the
God's like, fuck, how did I think of that? Cornbread this whole time?
I like how the entire world could be made peaceful by cornbread.
Choking on cornbread.
All right, everybody. Hopefully you had a good time. We appreciate your listening. Check us out on @BeerAndBibleShow on Instagram.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's it.
That's it. We love you. Bye.